everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program. Today, I'm going to be reading out articles from the March 2022 issue of Share International magazine. Later in the program, they'll be from the trends section, and hopefully, if there's time, finishing with excerpts from a compilation titled Rebuilding Our World. To start with, though, I'm going to read an article with the title Our Global Food Systems Are Rife with Injustice. Here's how we can change this. The pandemic, alongside growing threats from climate change, widespread malnutrition, economic instability, and geopolitical conflict, has heightened problems with the ways we produce, distribute, and consume food. And it's made clear the urgent need to make global food systems more just. An example of modern food injustice is that if you're poor or an ethnic minority in the US, you're less likely to have easy access to healthy food. This situation, worsened by COVID-19, has been termed food apartheid. It's also often the case that corporations, not local growers, control the food produced by communities, taking money out of their hands. If this is to change, it's important to understand who wins within existing food systems and, more importantly, who loses by being pushed to the sidelines and losing out on access to healthy food. To do this, those who design food systems need to consider how different factors that determine if someone is marginalized, like gender, age, disability, ethnicity, and religion, can combine or intersect, making some people more vulnerable. For example, international development programs by governments and charities often focus on helping women because they are considered vulnerable. But this risks overlooking different causes of poverty, including class and race issues, thus marginalising other vulnerable groups. In Tanzania, this kind of oversimplification when deciding who receives resources has been found to reinforce existing power hierarchies within communities, meaning that those who had little social power to begin with, such as poorer women, didn't get to benefit from the resources provided. In contrast, research shows that development projects tend to do better when they take local community norms into account. For example, in Bangladesh, men and women from Hindu and Muslim communities work in wetlands, but each group plays a different role. Research has found that community wetland management projects did better when people worked in accordance with their traditional roles, according to both gender and religion. An intersectional approach helps us to move beyond simplistic categories like the vulnerable woman, instead drawing attention to the unequal flows of power that shape access to resources. This should be embedded at the deepest level within food science to ensure marginalized and vulnerable people are at the forefront of change. It's also vital to understand how power dynamics structure decisions within food systems, whether that's within households or inside government institutions. When tackling issues faced by women and girls in Burundi, CARE International worked with this network of local male gender equality champions to analyse power systems, reflect on gender roles, and encourage equal active participation by women in community decisions. Outcomes included improvements in agricultural productivity, as well as increasing women's empowerment and gender equality. Creating inclusive, safe spaces for marginalised voices is also critical. Creative approaches, such as theatre, dance and music, provide a powerful medium through which to achieve this. For example, an Ananya dance theatre production explores feminist food politics through dance. Their performance highlights issues around sustainability and justice in food systems and demonstrates the power of community action. Historical injustice has a large part to play in the ongoing failure of food systems. For example, when it comes to global food systems, we need to understand how colonialism has shaped food processes and how it continues to do so today. During the late 19th and early 20th centuries, the colonial government in Zambia promoted maize production over that of indigenous crops like millet and sorghum. Nowadays, maize production continues to receive substantial support, with almost 80% of the government's annual agricultural budget spent on producing maize. Consequently, maize, which provides limited nutrients, dominates the Zambian diet, contributing to chronic food insecurity in the region. Understanding how to better design food systems also requires researchers to take into account how colonization helped shape them in the first place. This allows us to acknowledge how colonial processes of exploitation and destruction, such as the transatlantic slave trade, are reflected in modern maize-dominated food systems across Africa. Decolonizing research itself can also encourage us to identify and challenge power, privilege, and inequality. For example, it's usually scholars from developed countries rather than their counterparts in developing countries who set research agendas and determine how money is spent. And research from across the world is frequently only published in English, limiting the accessibility of that information within communities where English isn't spoken. Traditionally, science has seen itself as a process of impartial observation. Yet all research reflects cultural biases, and as researchers, we are profoundly influenced by our own values. Becoming aware of how our scientific knowledge is created is a key step in achieving justice. From the co-development of agricultural technologies to the design and launch of food programs, researchers have a huge impact on what kind of science gets prioritised and who benefits from it. If you'd like more information on that subject, you can check out the website theconversation.com. And now on to the trends section. In this section, developments and opinions are reviewed, which demonstrate that there is an increasingly powerful undercurrent sweeping the world in the direction of synthesis, sharing and cooperation, of new relationships and new approaches. In this first article, it's quite a brief one. It's titled Exemplary Leadership, Compassion in Action. The president of the Republic of North Macedonia walked hand in hand to school with an 11-year-old girl with Down syndrome after hearing that she was being bullied. President Stevo Penderovsky is being hailed for his inclusivity. Embla Adami, who lives in Gostivar, was facing discrimination at her school. The president spoke to the girl's family to hear from them about their constant challenges. And he said, Embla's case reminds us of the prejudices we live with and the need for greater protection and care for children with disabilities. And he wrote this while sharing a video of their meeting on Instagram. He goes on to say, it is our obligation as a state, but also as individuals, and the key element in this common mission is empathy. It will help children like Embla, but it will also help us learn from them how to sincerely rejoice, share, and be in solidarity. And when speaking to local press, he said, prejudices in that context are the main obstacle to building an equal and just society for all. We are all equal in this society. I came to give my support and to raise awareness that inclusion is a basic principle. The official statement announced that the president welcomed the decision by the country's Ombudsman and Commission for Protection Against Discrimination to open a probe into Embla's case. The source of that article was IndianExpress.com and also Euronews.com. The next short article is titled Coral Crusaders Protecting Their Seas. A project founded by local divers in 2014 is empowering young people to learn new skills in ocean conservation work and is inspiring others to do the same. The Community Centre for Diving and Ambassadors of the Sea is a not-for-profit social organisation in Puerto Viejo in Costa Rica that aims to protect the sea and its ecosystems while working within the community and bringing benefits to it. Scuba diving is too expensive to be anything other than a tourist activity there, but by offering the opportunity to dive with a purpose and making it interesting and fun, it is drawing local young people away from the perils of low employment and hopelessness, and at the same time protecting the coral reefs. Being locally generated, not an external NGO or non-government organisation, it isn't going to go away. Supported by fundraising and the United Nations Office for Project Services, the centre has offered 200 free training courses so far. These include open water and rescue diving, underwater archaeology, coral monitoring and restoration, and participants are expected to get good grades at school, carry out beach cleaning, take a full part in the centre's cultural activities, and become a sea ambassador. In this way, they set a different example and help strengthen the community across all generations, whilst leading the way in rebuilding their natural environment. Esteban Gallo, who's 24 years old, remembers, I was one of the four founders with my brothers and my neighbour. Now he is setting up his own business, a mechanical workshop to fix diving equipment. And he says, it's not easy to be young in Puerto Viejo. We don't have opportunities. Most of my classmates are involved in drug dealing and petty crime. The centre took us out of this context and opened doors in sea protection. And he goes on to say, during the lockdown, when all the activities stopped, we saw more corals and animals than ever. Also, the seahorses were back. Their work undermined the arguments of potential exploiters that the reef was dead due to pollution. Saying that the reef was dead was an excuse for not taking care of the ocean. Companies took advantage of it and proposed projects of oil exploitation or dock constructions that we stopped over the years. Our constant monitoring showed that the reef was alive, says another sea ambassador, Anna Maria. The source of that article was The Guardian in the UK. And one more article. This is South African scientists replicate Moderna vaccine. South African scientists have created a close replica of Moderna's mRNA-based coronavirus vaccine without any assistance from the US pharmaceutical giant, a development that could have massive implications for the fight against global vaccine apartheid. In partnership with the World Health Organization, researchers at the South African company Afrigen Biologics used the sequence of Moderna's vaccine to produce an mRNA shot of its own. Those against vaccine apartheid view the development as a major breakthrough. And Gerhard Boeks, who's the chief scientist at Afrigen, told Nature magazine on 3rd February 2022, "We didn't have help from the major COVID vaccine producers, so we did it ourselves to show the world that it can be done and be done here on the African continent." Most effective mRNA-based coronavirus vaccines have been bought by rich countries. Only 11% of the 1.3 billion people on the African continent have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. While in low-income countries, just 10% of people have received one coronavirus vaccine dose. And that's from an organisation titled Our World in Data. Pfizer and Moderna, the producers of the two available mRNA vaccines, have refused to share their technology with low-income countries and declined to participate in the World Health Organization's Technology Transfer Hub, of which Afrigen is a key part. Nature magazine reports, during this period, having heard about plans to mimic Moderna's shot, scientists from around the world sent African researchers emails offering assistance. Some of them were researchers at the US National Institutes of Health who had conducted foundational work on mRNA vaccines. South African scientists said they weren't deterred by Big Pharma's self-serving narrative. And Patrick Abbott-Knott, I think I pronounced his name wrong, director of gene therapy research at the University of Witwatersrand, said, "We were not intimidated because mRNA synthesis is a fairly generic procedure." Charles Gore, executive director of the UN-backed Medicines Patent Pool, said, "If this project shows that Africa can take cutting-edge technology and produce cutting-edge products, it will banish the idea that Africa can't do it and will change the global mindset. This can be a game-changer." And I see there's really not time for me to read from this next article, so I'll finish with just one quote from the article titled Rebuilding Our World. "The outstanding quality of the energy of Aquarius is synthesis. Hence, the result of its action will be a blending and fusing of the present divided and separative humanity into a whole. A new sense of oneness with all creation will replace the present sense of separation. In the social and political sphere, this will demonstrate as brotherhood, justice, and sharing. The present fear and confusion will give way to a new freedom and sense of meaning and purpose in life. It will be an age in which humanity, for the first time as a whole, realizes and manifests its inherent divinity." And that was by Benjamin Krem and from his book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1. Thank you for listening in. For more information, check out the website share-international.org. Wishing you all a lovely week.